Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bounds. Now, this week we'll be turning to Vienna to talk about art, during which we'll be discussing seemingly scandalous goings-on at the top offices of some of the city's museums, and we'll take a look at the artists Thea Georgiadze and Ito Barada, who are both showing at the Secession Gallery. To talk us through all of the above, of course, it's our Vienna correspondent, Kimberly Bradley. Kim, welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Nice to have you down the end of the line. Now let's talk about high dudgeon and some low malpractice, we might presume, at some of Vienna's poppermost art institutions. Talk us through this one.
What happened this year? I mean, there's been about a five-year stretch of a lot of the museum directors in the city getting the sack, mostly for misappropriation of funds. There's a very jovial curator named Peter Neuver who threw a great big party for his mother at the MAC, and that's what kicked them over the edge, and he was removed.
Yeah, that seems kind of quite rich.
Yeah.
Doesn't it, I suppose? These are publicly funded galleries as well, right?
Yes.
This isn't
It's a museum. Okay. I mean, it's the Museum of Applied Arts. I mean, he's a fun guy, and he's doing fine now. I mean, there's no problem. And there was also Gerard Matt, about 4 years ago, was removed from his position at the Kunsthalle Wien. Similar reasons. And Nicola Schaffhausen, the German curator, has been there ever since, and his contract was renewed. So this year, at the very end of July, it was announced that Agnes Husle-In-Arco, who's been the director of the Belvedere for 10 years, was also not getting a renewed contract. So this is at the end of December. She can apply for her job again, but her job will end at the end of December. And this was because of mixing private and public funding, taking staff for private reasons, and there was an auditor that was dealing with compliance, and it was something like 130,000 euros that was the sum in question. And this was a big scandal in the Austrian press. Not too long after that, she did send a letter out to everyone on her list. I'm on her list too, so I saw this. And mentioned that, you know, her side of the story, that it was a bit dubious. But she also mentioned something that's really important. She brought the visitor numbers from 2006 to 2015 up from 400,000 to 1.3 million. So she's been quite successful. And she's gotten shows like the ones on now, Ai Weiwei, first show in Austria in a museum. I mean, she's done quite well.
So it's an interesting thing here. I mean, there is obviously that argument of, well, you need to give me the tools in order to do the great job that I've been doing. But what is Vienna's problem? Is it renowned within the art world in Europe for being a soft touch or what? Is there a lot of money sloshing around that people feel that they can put some of it into their back pocket? Or if not exactly that, then at least play the field a little bit with some of that money.
That's really hard for me to say. I don't really know. I think when I look at it from a somewhat outsider's point of view, I think the old guard is simply turning over, and there was money sloshing around that was always loose. Vienna is a Balkan city, and a lot of things run this way in a lot of other industries, not just in museums. But I think Vienna, in terms of art, is becoming a global node again, and you have to be a bit tighter in how things are done. That's just my guess. Plus, there needs to be a new generation of directors coming in. Some of these people are not so young. That's my guess. I mean, it's not like in this particular case, it's like, oh, Belvedere needs to be more modernized and this woman has been here too long. I don't think that was the decision in this case. But I think in general, a lot of the turnover is a shift in how things are done in Europe in general, and also a necessary shift generationally for the city's arts institutions. I mean, I'd be really interested to see who gets the job next year, if a young curator will come from somewhere else.
Yeah, and do you think that is an opportunity for somewhere like the Belvedere to bring in a bit of new blood, and whilst trying to keep those high attendance figures for shows and the high quality of shows presumably as well, can sort of make a bit of an outward sign that it's modernizing, that it's becoming a younger buck?
I hope so. I mean, I've had this conversation with a few art people in Vienna. It would be fantastic if we got a young international curator or director. I don't know.
Have they got your email address, Kim?
Yeah, I hope so. kab@monocle.com. You can just contact me and I can hook you up with the people in question. Yeah.
No, I was suggesting perhaps it might be a good job for you, actually.
Oh, with me? Oh, no. Oh, God, no.
The lady doth protest too much. Okay. That's the sound of it happening right there, live on the radio. That's what it sounds like. That's an interesting one. I think perhaps we shall, whilst admiring the chutzpah of a man that throws a birthday party for his mother at the museum of which he is the director, and perhaps mourning the loss of Agnès Hussain Arco at Belvedere, we're going to have to move it on. We're going to actually have to talk about some art, rather sadly, because a little bit of high dudgeon is always a good place to start. So let us, Kim, go to the first of your two artists. Both are showing at the same gallery in Vienna called Secession. So we're going to talk about Thea Georgiadze first. She's a Berlin-based Georgian artist who's done a pretty cool and interesting thing with her show here.
I mean, Thea's been up here in Berlin for a really long time, and she's well known for almost architectural spatial installations. I mean, she's a sculptor. And when I think of her work, it's a mix of these very modernist, almost furniture-like, distil kind of riffs on architectural movements from 60 years ago. But sometimes she'll roll up a Georgian carpet and stick that somewhere. You know, she's got this really interesting way of working with site specificity. So what she did at the Secession, which if we want to talk about Viennese institutions, it's the one that's completely artist-run, so the director will probably not be fired anytime soon.
There aren't many expenses to be fiddled then.
Exactly. They have a budget, but they vote. It's an artist association. They vote on their people, so it's kind of more democratic. Anyway, Thea moved her entire Berlin studio to the very vast upper exhibition space at Secession. And it's absolutely fascinating. So you walk into this space and there's just a lot of stuff in there. But the way she organizes stuff in a space is what makes this exhibition interesting. So she has on the back left wall everything that was made out of wood in her Berlin studio. But it's almost as if it's minimalism. It's almost like a Donald Judd sculpture. So she's got all the shelves up and down that she would have used in her studio, but done in this minimalistic way. On the right, back right wall, she has the same in metal. In fact, even her sink has been unscrewed and is vertically on the wall. She's got rows of plants. She has all of her work materials under. She's made a bit of a vitrine out of wood and plexiglass. And you see all the materials she works with to make her sculptures. In another section, she's got a space that's also like a vitrine, but it's all these half-made sculptures. Couches, there's a chaise lounge, but it's very clear that this is no longer a workspace. It's very clear that she's reorganized her materials as if they're sculptural materials. So at first you look around, you're like, okay, this is just a bunch of her stuff. And then you get the tensions between the zones that she's created, and you get what she's doing sculpturally. And you can spend a lot of time in there looking at stuff. I mean, imagine if you took all your own stuff out of your house and created a spatial installation with it, you know? It's like that.
So there is an idea here, similar perhaps with Tracy Emin's My Bed, I suppose, of the idea of the artist is very much present. There is a huge amount of intention. There is the brushstroke here we see, but we maybe don't see the finished painting. Is there a sense of that? Because there is an interesting idea of having to invent a fourth wall that we're looking through, you know, rather than simply walking in, as you said, and seeing, oh, there's all her stuff. How has the artist achieved, as you say, the tension between the her collections of objects? How does it become an exhibition as simply as moving her stuff from one studio to a gallery?
The difference between her and Tracy Emin, you get the sense of Georgiadze there, but not as much as you'd think. I think what she manages to do to create tension is to transform objects of utility from an actual studio into sculptures. Sculptures with very, very well thought out placement. They get somehow almost magically transformed, even in the viewer's mind, from one thing to another. So you realize this is like in the title of the show, which is to be in an upright position on the feet and in parentheses studio visit, you realize it's not a studio visit. That implies that the artist is working there. But it's a studio visit in a strange way, but it's become a sculptural exhibition because of how she's recast the roles of these objects. And that's what makes it interesting. At first, you go in, you're like, this isn't interesting. And then you get pulled in to how she's reorganized, restructured, replaced, thought everything through, you start imagining almost like what things look like back in Berlin. There is an artist book that she produced at the Secession. It's in the bookstore there, where you see the images of the actual studio. So if you buy that first and then go into the exhibition, it's really interesting to see what's where.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating stuff. There is, and you speak about it so eloquently, Kim. I mean, it sounds like a fantastic show. I really wish I could see this one, actually, myself. There's the idea of also, we love visiting, and we're lucky doing the jobs that we do, to go and see artists in their studios. There is no greater pleasure, almost, than poking about an artist's studio. It's like eating the cake dough before your mum's put it in the oven, right? I mean, there's something kind of naughty and wonderful about it, seeing the process. Is there a sense of nosiness about it as well, or is this very much a presentation of a space and the presentation of objects as sculpture?
You don't see a lot of personal effects so much. You see a few papers here and there. I was really fascinated by this little section, how organized her tape is. Like, she has tape with which she would tape like objects together, and they're all in little rolls in a box. And I'm like, did she redo this for this exhibition, or does she actually put them in this drawer? Like this in the studio, there are moments where you do feel somewhat voyeuristic, but it never goes into that zone where you, like in an Emin exhibition where it's too much. There's an impersonality to the voyeurism. It's very odd.
Okay, well, it's fascinating stuff. It has a wonderful name as well. It is To Be in an Upright Position on the Feet. Studio visit brackets. And that is a show by Thea Georgiadze. It's on at the Secession Gallery in Vienna until November the 1st. Kim Bradley is talking us through them. And the next show Kim's going to tell us about is called The Sample Book. It's at the Secession Gallery as well. And it is by Ito Barada. Kim, what's going on here?
A Moroccan artist who works most of the time from New York, but she's very, very tied to Moroccan issues, Northern African traditions. And you get the sense here that it's almost like a mini retrospective of many of her practices. She does film, she does sculpture, she does two-dimensional work, she does textile work. So the sample book is the title of the exhibition. You get literal samples and you get an idea that it's a sampling of all the stuff she does. And the main, when you walk into the space that's right downstairs from Tatea's transplanted studio, there's a film running, and the film is quite long, and what Barada has done is followed Moroccans who excavate fossils, but there's this whole industry under this where many Moroccans make fake fossils and sell them to tourists. So it's a very meditative, slow film of various people doing archaeological digs, but other people creating, like, with great craft, great care, fake fossils that look just like the real ones. And so you get this sense of an alternative economy. You get a sense of like how Northern Africa is based on tourism, but also a sense of deep craft that you have in Morocco.
It's an interesting one. I'm aware of this. I read a really good novel, actually, just about this very subject. And I wonder what Ito Barada is saying about the notion of art itself, of art making, the difference between an artist and an artisan, and the difference between someone that finds something, i.e. a fossil, and someone that makes something, gets their hands dirty and has some artistic intention, even if it is mimicry. Is there a comment, do you think, running through this show on the idea of what it is to be an artist, I wonder?
That's possible. She's in the past dealt quite a lot with subversive economy. She's dealt with ideas of labor, what this kind of thing means, especially coming from her more peripheral position in the art world. I mean, she's not from the Eurocentric tradition. So that's where those lines are a lot more blurred. I mean, you see it elsewhere in this show too, and I'd like to just talk about, she has textiles where she uses dyes and natural dyes like turmeric and cumin and all these spices, and you see spots with beautiful natural colors, and they're all labeled. And so there are two or three or four of these scattered throughout the exhibitions. She's using textiles. She's used Moroccan textiles to make small objects that are on plinths. They're beautiful wallpapers also with organic dyes that stand behind some of the plinths. And you get kind of pulled into this Northern African world of artisanal expertise. But also there's a modernist thread going through quite a lot of it. I mean, the wallpapers look like they could have been made at the Bauhaus.
One of these pictures that I've got in front of me, one of the images is of, it looks like a piece of sort of plumbing on a plinth with this very modernist Bauhaus wallpaper behind it. So there's a bit of Duchampianism here as well. There's a bit of found object or a bit of repurposing of object as well, right? There's quite a lot of modernity here.
There are two or three of those. Yeah, there are two or three of those objects that she's put into this show. Upstairs too, I mean, there's this whole basement space that she has. And then upstairs, there's the small exhibition space that's sometimes used for little shows at the Secession. And she's got images called photograms. And so these are manipulated, very abstracted photos that look almost like something that Man Ray would do, perhaps, but also in these colors that are very non-Western. So I got really pulled into her aesthetic. I didn't know so much about her before, which is shameful because I write about art, but she was one of those blind spots that I have. And I realized how broad her practice is. And in this show, you really get a sense of that breadth. It's beautiful.
Well, when Kim Bradley learns, we all learn, that is Ito Barada. The show is called The Sample Book. It is on at the Secession Gallery until November the 1st, as is Thea Georgiadze's show, which is called To Be in an Upright Position on the Feet, studio visit at the same gallery, The Secession in Vienna. Thank you very much, as ever, to our Vienna correspondent, Kimberly Bradley, for leading us a merry dance uphill and down dale in Vienna. Thank you very much indeed. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review. I've been Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher, and this show is researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when we'll be talking music. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.